Blog Talk Radio.
Whoa. Why y'all so happy?
You don't know. Charvette Mitchell is on the radio.
It's time to get motivated,
excited,
and influenced.
Why?
It's the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show, live from Richmond, Virginia. And now, here to motivate, excite, and influence you,
Charvette Mitchell.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show, broadcasting from the capital city of Richmond, Virginia, but heard all across the world wide web. How you guys doing? So glad to have you joining us here on another phenomenal day with another phenomenal show. And so big shout out to all of those that are tuning in. Shout out to Carla R. Jenkins, just jumped into the chat room. I see you. Hello there. Welcome to all those that are hanging out on the phone line, that are checking us out here on the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show. Listen, we are here to motivate, excite, and influence, and I'm telling you what, our guests for today are going to do just that. So listen, let me tell you who we have lined up on the show today. We're going to be kicking the top of the hour out with, back by popular demand, actually, Dr. Alice Millsap. She is an author. She's a certified Christian counselor. She's the owner of ASAP Counseling Services, which is a Christian-based counseling center in Texas, Missouri City, Texas. She's been here before. She has a new book out, a brand spanking new book out called I Am God's Inheritance, Unlocking the Door to Your True Identity. She says so many people, are really living based off of the opinion of man, and she wants to liberate you from the opinion of man. And really this book is about unlocking the doors to your true identity. Who are you, and where are you going, and what are you doing? That reminds me of that that song, Where Are You Going? I can't sing. But, you know, it's from, what's the movie? Y'all help me out. Diana Ross and Billy Dee Williams. So, anyway, that song, Where Are You Going, Where Are You Coming To, Where Are You Coming From, all that good stuff. Okay, so we're going to be chatting up in the first segment with Dr. Alice Millsap. And then, listen, I am just so excited about our second segment. Completely honored to have a featured guest that's joining us, Casey Grant. She is joining us. She is here. She is one of the first African-American stewardesses for Delta Airlines. Yes. Oh, my goodness. So you know that she has a story to tell. She was able to take to the skies and fly when flying was glamorous and exclusive and people only dreamed about, you know, being a stewardess or a model or a movie star. So certainly she is a trailblazer for us, and we're going to get to hear all about her life experiences, which she has actually documented and put in a book called Stars in the Sky, which are the untold stories, the unknown stories of our African American stewardesses and flight attendants, you know, who really were able to break ground. So I am really excited to feature Casey Grant on the show in our second segment. Super excited. All right. Okay, and listen, I want to shout out my thank you, Diana Ross. Thank you, Carla R. Jenkins in the chat room. She was helping me out, Diana Ross and Billy D. I want to shout out those that are in my Facebook group on Facebook. For female entrepreneurs or females that want to be entrepreneurs, join us. All you have to do is click on Coaching with Vet. When you're in Facebook, just put in the search Coaching with Vet and you can join us. It's for females only that are either entrepreneurs or they want to be entrepreneurs. And I'm telling you what, it's one of the best groups I have been in. And I'm not just saying that because it's my group, but you'll notice there's a lot of great interaction. And I believe that iron sharpens iron. And so if you want to just continue to network and build with other female entrepreneurs, you got to join us over in the Facebook group, Coaching with Vet. Yes, my nickname is Vet. That's right. All right. So we're moving right along. Listen, this is what I want you to do. Jump on Twitter tell them what you're listening to. Jump on Facebook, tell them what you're listening to. Go on over to Instagram if you hang out there. Tell them what you're listening to come check out the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show right here on your airwaves. All right, so I believe our first guest is hanging out to the in the virtual studio. And we're going to be talking to Dr. Alice Millsap in our first segment here. All right, so what we're going to do is go to a quick music break, and then we're going to be bringing up our first guest. I want to feature a song called Agree, Agree by James Johnson. He's right here from Richmond, well, Baltimore by way of in Richmond now, Stella Award-winning songwriter, and this is a new song, hashtag Agree by James Johnson. Take a peek at that, and we'll be back to our segment.
I don't know what you're going through, and I don't know what you're facing. I just want to agree with you that everything's going to be all right.
If there was a time that I needed you, the time would be now. Show me what to do. For I'm not by myself. We all need your help. Our need is critical. So we agree on a miracle.
If there were a time
that I needed you,
oh God,
by myself, no.
I'm not by myself.
We all need him.
We all need your help.
Our need is.
He actually just won a spot at King's Dominion Praise Fest. You're going to be in the Virginia area in July, and you're going to King's Dominion. They have an annual Praise Fest with a lot of different gospel artists, and he won a spot to be opening, in the opening for Praise Fest. So big shout out to James Johnson right there. All right, so we're moving on in to our first segment. Again, I'm excited to have Dr. Alice Millsap joining us. She's an author. She's a certified Christian counselor, temperament therapy, and minister. She's the owner of ASAP Counseling Services and brand new book out, I Am God's Inheritance, Unlocking the Door to Your True Identity. So keep your seatbelts on because we're about to go on a ride here. Excited to bring up to the mic right now Dr. Alice Millsap. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. How are you today?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm just wonderful. Wonderful. It's really nice out here in Houston. Really hot, but it's nice.
All right, we've had a little mugginess here on the East Coast, so you all's heat is different from our heat. Y'all have more of that dry heat, right?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. It's a different kind of heat.
Yes. That's what I wish we could swap, which I know you don't want to do that, but I wish we
not
could have
right
some
now,
of your dry heat.
No.
Not right now. Well, certainly you have been keeping yourself busy since, the last time we featured you on the show. Now you have a new book out. When do you find time to write?
Oh, my gosh, all the time. I really just love putting words on paper. And after I finished Disinherited Daddy, how could you? And thank you so much for having me on the show back then. That book has really done wonderful, and people are just excited about the book. They read it in one sitting. They just could not put it down. And so after that, God began to speak to my heart about just who I am as a person, and I just began to write. And, I mean, in 9 months, this book was finished, absolutely finished. So I just write, and I'll be laying in the bed and just start writing.
Wow. And so why this topic? Why this? Let's start with the title. Where did the title come from?
The title came from the fact that I kept wondering to myself, who am I? You know, because, you know, when your father disinherited you, and then your family just, you know, my father's side of the family doesn't really embrace me as much as I would like for them to, I began to just question my identity in that spot, and God began to speak, and he said, I am your father. And so I began to just look into who is I am. And, you know, God told Moses when he go before Pharaoh to tell him, I am sent you. And so I began to search who I am to I am. And so the book came about, like, titled down, I Am, and then I wrote God's Inheritance. And so that was it. And I just started researching, what does God have to say about me being his inheritance? And the scripture that he led me to was in Matthew 25:34, when he said, then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. And when I saw that, I said, oh, my God, that's me, because the king is my father, and so therefore I'm an inheritance, and I possess the kingdom. I am who God says I am. And that is how this book title came about. And then when I kept researching, and God took me to Exodus, and then he took me all the way back to John, when Jesus said to them, he said, most assuredly I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. And so I became I am, and God became the big I am in my life. Because throughout the book, I am in capital letters is God, and I am in smaller letters is me, and we're just connected. I'm his daughter, and he's my father.
All right. I love that. I love that. I think you explained that right on nail on the hand. And do you think that people are struggling with their identity, all age brackets, all races, all nationalities?
I believe so, because a lot of times we look for affirmation from our, quote, biological fathers, but in most homes, biological fathers are not there. So therefore, we don't get that affirmation. And then we go to church thinking that our spiritual fathers are going to affirm us, and we may not get it there. And then we look for our stepfathers, who affirmed me. My stepfather affirmed me. And everything that I'm doing now, my stepfather spoke it into my life when I was young. And so, but I always long for my father, my biological father, to speak these blessings over me. And after that did not happen, I realized that, so, and especially in counseling, most of my people come because of broken relationships with their mother, their father, friends, loved ones, significant others. And so our identity is based upon who others say that we are instead of who God says that we are.
Oh, my goodness.
And
so you bring up a yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yes, I was just going to say, you bring up a great point about, you know, we just had Father's Day, but how your stepfather stepped in and was that father figure. And so it's so important in all of our communities that, you know, all men kind of, you know, step up and play that father role, if you can, to someone who does not have a biological father that's present and able to play that role.
Yes, it's very important because, you know, your mother can say all types of things to you and tell you you're going to be great, you're this, you're that. But until you hear it from that person, that significant man, it's just like a son's mother. A mother and sons are very connected, and fathers and daughters are that connection. And I think that was the disconnect for me, is that I didn't have my father to speak those words of affirmation or those assurances. My father just tore me down and told me what I would not be. And so when my stepfather came into my life, he began to tell me all of these things that I would brace those things. But even in that, like you said, men just need to be in their position to speak into the life of children. You know, like my husband, he works with the children at our church, and he speaks so much positive things into those young boys and those young girls' lives, and they just gravitate towards him. Because they're hungry for that. We're hungry to hear that from a male figure. We hear it from our female role models. And, you know, women, we always encouraging each other and building each other up. But we need that from those male figures, those men in our lives that are strong and know who they are, not intimidated, not afraid, don't mind hugging you, embracing you, telling you you're pretty, telling you you're great, telling you that great things are deposited in you. We need that from our male men, and that's why a lot of men just need to be role models to those children that are without those male figures. And then women need to be careful who they associate with and connect themselves with, because it's very important that that man be someone that child can trust, that they know that that man is going to correct them, but he's going to do it in love. There's just so many avenues, and so much can happen in a child's life when there's a strong male figure in their lives.
So true. So true. If you just tuned in, hey there, you're checking out the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show, and we're chatting up here with Dr. Alice Millsap. Brand new book out, I Am God's Inheritance. While they're listening, where can they purchase this online?
They can purchase it online from Amazon.com. As a matter of fact, just type in Dr. Alice Millsap, and both of my books will come up.
All right. So you have several chapters in the book, 14 to be exact. And so I'd love for you to give just a little teeny highlight, just to whet the appetite of those listening about some of the chapters. And so chapter one, God's plan versus man's plan. And you talked a little bit about how we are focused on what man thinks of us, and
right,
not focused on what God thinks of us. Talk a little
God
bit about that.
Well, yeah. You know what? When I was sitting down and God gave me this chapter, all I could see was God was saying that his plan versus man's plan, that man's plan always collides. It's God's plan and man's plan are always competing with each other. And when there is a competition, somebody's going to lose competition. Just like we just
yeah.
had the big playoff in the somebody lost, right? Someone
right.
walked away, destroyed, you know, feeling let down. But when God's plan and man's plans collide, only God's plan prevails. because he's already told us. He said, even before the foundations of the world, I chose you in love, blameless, no blame. And then he talks about in Jeremiah 29:11, he tells us, he said, I know the thoughts and the plans that I have for you, thoughts to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you hope and a future. And that's what I stand on. I stand on that principle right there. And in this book, too, it talks about how I had to understand my daddy's plan was to disinherit me, but God's plan was to let me know who I was. And once I recognized what God's plan was for my life, my daddy's plan no longer had any importance to me. The book was written so that it can help people, but it's not who I am. That's just my story. Because now I'm walking in God's glory. So the plans always collide. And in this book, it just talks about in Proverbs 16, and God sheds a light on man's plan. It says the human belongs to plans of the heart, but from the Lord comes the proper answer of the tongue. All a person's ways seem pure to him, but motives are weighed by the Lord. The Lord works out everything to its proper end, even the wicked for a day of disaster. So God's plan always supersedes man, because man's plan is always the wicked side of it, but God's plan always prevail over that. And, you know, he said, I know God tells us in the Message Bible from that Jeremiah 29:11, he said, I know what I'm doing. I have it all planned out. Plan to save you, not abandon you. Plan to give you the future you hope for. See, God wants us to have our heart's desire. He said, delight in me, and I'll give you the desires of my heart. But when you're listening to what man is saying or not saying about you, and you're trying to wait for someone else to tell you what to do, you'll never win out in this battle. But when we understand God's plan prevails, hey, they're going to collide every time. And every time, God's plan is going to always win. And in this same chapter, I tell them that's what I call to action. Throughout this book, I'm telling people to do something. Don't just read the book. Do something. And there's a call to action where I tell them to look over their life, and I tell them, what plan has man tried to use against you? Write it down. Write that plan down. And then go back and read those scriptures again, Jeremiah 29:11, and Proverbs 16:4. And I ask them to see what God is saying versus what man is saying, because God's plan always trumps man's plan every time.
Every time. Woo, listeners, I know that one chapter right there is setting us free right there. And then you have other chapters in the book. I am an inheritance. I am not forsaken. I am not a prisoner.
Yes.
I am chosen.
Yes.
I'm forgiven. I'm beautiful.
Yes.
Talk about I am the apple of God's eye. That's chapter 12.
Oh, girl. Wait, let me get to that chapter for you, because what happened here was, girl, I love that chapter. you know, it comes right behind. I think it comes right behind I'm beautiful, because I am the apple of God's eye. I had to understand that. When you bite into an apple, when you look at it, it looks so appealing and so refreshing, and you bite into it and it's so juicy, and it just tastes so good to you. And I began to see myself as that in the eyes of God. And he said in Psalm 17:8, he said, keep me as the apple of your eye. Hide me in the shadow of your wing. And this is David writing to God. And he's telling God, I want to be the apple of your eye. And in Zechariah 2:8, that part B, it says, but he that touches you touches the apple of his eye. You know, God just lets us know that he's always looking at us. He sees us as so special. And, you know, I have to recognize from this particular passage that, and I even have to understand it for myself, that even though I never became the apple of my father's eye, in the eyes of God, I am his. I'm his daughter. And in that particular verse, just like Israel was the apple of God's eye, so am I, and so are you, and so are all of us when we're walking in the ways of God. God looks at us and he sees us as that bright, shining apple that's always red, always prospering, always producing, always growing. We're always in his eyesight.
and it's encouraging. Just like you said,
it is
encouraging for anyone. It doesn't matter what side of the road you came, you know, what side
it
of the tracks and your current economic status. Yeah.
Yes, and it has nothing to do with your race. It has nothing to do with whether you're middle class, low class, poor. It does not matter, rich, poor. And when you're the apple of God's eye, it does not care who you are to God. And in the eyes of God, I had to recognize, Charvette, I had to know that. Because when you come from that place of hurt, that place of denial, that place of rejection, not only from your father, but from men of God that you've set up under, that hurts. And you have to dive into the word of God and let God begin to heal you, begin to restore you. And then you walk in the totality of what God say about you and not what man say. I am the apple of God's eye. I mean, everybody is, but I had to recognize that for myself. I had to take that on. I had to live it out. No longer do I stand behind the shadows of someone else. I stand out in the open. And God told me, you write books because books going to take you where you can't go physically. It's going to take you there because people are going to pick up your book all over the world, and they're going to know that I am God's inheritance, that they can be also. They can unlock those doors that's been locked. They can walk through doors that's been shut in their face, and they can know that they are the apple. They can know that God watches over them, that God protects them, that God's whatever the enemy, his schemes, whatever it is, God has demolished it. They are the apple of God's eye, and they got to buy into it, though.
Yeah, you got to come into agreement with it, into agreement.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Wow, I am telling you what, our time has flown by. Dr. Alice Millsap, author, certified Christian counselor, minister. We heard the word coming out there. Tell our listeners one more time how they can connect with you online, pick up your book, and also be a part of any counseling services you have available.
Yes, we do Skype counseling also, so you don't have to be in Houston, Texas, or Missouri City, Texas, or surrounding areas. You can just Skype in, and we can do Skype conferences. I do a lot of those now, and they can also get my book again from Amazon, www.amazon.com, and also go to my Facebook page, Dr. Alice Millsap, or go to ASAP Counseling, and they can get all the information that they need in order to contact me. And I just want to encourage everybody in this book also. I wrote 50 Ways I Am Identifies Me. 50 Ways I Am Identifies Me. If there's any doubt about who you are, go to that page, page 39. 50 Ways I Am Identifies Me, and it has the scripture to go along with it. He identifies me as a child of God, John 1 and 12. He identifies me as holy, Colossians 1, 22. They need to go and read those scriptures and digest them into their mind. The devil is a lie. He has stolen enough of our time. We need to know who we are, who we have been called and appointed by God to do, and know who we're supposed to be serving. Because God called us for such a time as this. People are dying because they don't know who they are. And I want to encourage them, get this book, buy into it, know who you are, do those call to actions, and then begin to be healed and restored and walk in your true identity.
All right, walk in your true identity. Thank you, Dr. Alice, for just sharing with us and our listeners and your enthusiasm and energy and wisdom and knowledge that you have brought to us all. We just wish you much more continued success.
Thank you so much, and I appreciate you for having me on the show. And to everybody out there listening, I love you with the love of God. And the one thing I pray is that you experience God's best in your life today.
Amen, amen. Thank you, thank you, thank you. All right, listeners, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and then we're going to be back with our second segment. Oh, my goodness, Cassie Grant is joining us. One of the first African-American stewardesses. She was the first African-American stewardess, one of the first for Delta Airlines, and she has a phenomenal book out, Stars in the Sky. It gives the insight, the background. We're going to touch on racism. We're going to touch on how she got to travel the world. We're going to touch on all of that. Certainly somebody that's a trailblazer and paved the pathway for a lot of us. So we're going to be chatting with her right after these quick commercial breaks.
It's the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show. Charvette will be back after this.
Spiritual Food for Thought, 31 Inspirational Quotes to Jumpstart Your Day by LaTanya Boyd, consists of inspirational messages that offer daily words of empowerment, promote spiritual growth and development in the Lord Jesus Christ for your day-to-day living. Spiritual Food for Thought, 31 Inspirational Quotes to Jumpstart Your Day, available now on Kindle, ebook, and paperback. Log on to www.latiboyd.com.
Does your church or ministry have a website? Are you a local artist or author that has an established web presence? If you answered no to any of these questions, you're letting countless opportunities pass you by. Hi, I'm Charvette Mitchell. Mitchell Productions was created with your needs in mind. We will provide you with stylish and economical online marketing solutions. From email marketing to your own website, Mitchell Productions caters to ministries, nonprofits, small businesses, and special events. Check out our portfolio at Mitchell-Productions.com. In today's world, a website is not a luxury, it's a necessity. And Mitchell Productions can create your website in a stylish manner at a very economical price. Don't let business, customers, or new congregation members pass you by. Visit Mitchell Productions today at www.Mitchell-Productions.com. Let us showcase your organization to the world.
Hello, we are 123jobzone.com, an online job search portal. We are user friendly, and if you're searching for a job, with us it's easy as 123. Step 1, go to www.123jobzone.com and register as a job seeker. Step 2, once registered, upload your resumes. Step 3, get connected with employers looking for people like you who are ready and willing to work. Don't forget to follow 123 Job Zone on Twitter and Facebook to find out more about our upcoming job fairs. What are you waiting for? Stop by 123jobzone.com today. Good luck with your job search.
She's here to motivate, excite, and influence you. She's Charvette Mitchell. It's the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show with in-depth interviews from today's leading authors, gospel artists, stars that you want to know about. And now, Charvette Mitchell.
All right. Welcome back. Welcome back again. Thank you so much for all those that are hanging out on the phone lines. We see you blowing up the lines there. Those that are hanging out in the chat room, thank you so much. Those that are coming in from Twitter and coming in from Facebook and coming in from Instagram and certainly from Charvette.com and from our mobile app and all of our broadcast stations, we say hello. Listen, we are moving right into our second segment. I'm telling you what, Dr. Alice Millsap has this virtual studio lit up on fire, and we're going to keep it moving. I am really excited to have and be honored to have our next guest, author Casey Grant, and I'm telling you what, she has a story to tell. She has a new book out, was one of the first African-American stewardesses for Delta Airlines. She has compiled the untold, the unknown stories, real life experiences of a lot of the African-American stewardesses. And I'm telling you what, in the new book, Stars in the Sky, I've tagged on Facebook, I talked about it on Twitter. And, you know, at a time when flying was, you know, exclusive and glamorous, and, you know, little girls would look up in the sky and just dream about either being a stewardess or a model or a movie star, you know, she had the opportunity to rub elbows with the elite and travel the world. But I am sure during that time period, there are many other things that she had to face, such as racial prejudice and discrimination. So we are excited to feature this trailblazer. I'm running to the virtual green room right now and bringing up on the air our guest today, Ms. Casey Grant. Welcome to the show.
Why, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for having me. I've been looking so forward to being on the show.
Oh, we are so glad to have you. And I got to give a shout out to a mutual friend, Miss Belinda, who helped make that connection. So if she's listening, we're waving virtually with you. So
we are. We have been friends. She and I have been friends for, I think 40 years. So hello, my dear friend, if you are listening.
Wonderful. Sweet, sweet spirit. Sweet spirit.
It's very much
all
so.
Right.
You're right.
Yeah. Yes. So let's jump in. My goodness. So 35 years, you had 35 years airline, aviation. How did it all start for you?
Okay. So that's good. Where did it all start? Well, it started with Air Force background. My father was in the service. So therefore, as I say, that's the travel bug. It was planted back then. I started school in England. I lived in Africa. I was there when Gaddafi was in the mountains, and he was just a young renegade. And as a matter of fact, we were evacuated, like, overnight. We had to leave Tripoli, North Libya, overnight because Gaddafi did not want Americans there. And all these things are in the book, of course, Stars in the Sky. And so the travel bug was, you know, was born from my father being in the Air Force and traveling all over. Well, it's a little town about 130 miles outside of Chicago, Rantoul, Illinois. And I always wanted to try to fly. And I thought, well, maybe I would join the service. But I was working at the University of Illinois, and my boss encouraged me to submit an application with Delta Airlines. Well, we know that that was a dream because they weren't really hiring a lot of blacks back then. And I submitted the application, and, you know, because of, you know, blessed by God to be able to get the job, I was hired. Now, the very first flight attendant for Delta Airlines is Patricia Grace Murphy, and she was hired in 1966. And
wow.
So I got hired in 71. And because of affirmative action, the push was on for airlines at that time to hire blacks because they still were very far and in between. So
yeah.
I was lucky to have put in an application with Delta and was accepted. And, you know, Atlanta is Delta Airlines headquarters. So off I dashed from Illinois to Georgia and start to experience this whole new world, this whole new life. And as you had mentioned, yes, I was faced with racism because my first base was in Miami. And that's exactly where I met Belinda. And I have a friend named Melinda, and I have to always think which one I'm talking about. So we were based in Miami. And at that point, you couldn't find an apartment. They wouldn't pick you up in the cabs. All the type of racism. Passengers wouldn't talk to you. The crew members wouldn't allow you in the cockpit. You were, you know, called the N-word to your face.
On the plane.
On the plane. From the crew members. The pilots.
Not just the passengers, not just the people flying, but from the crew as well.
That's right. There are different situations in there, different stories but you know, we wanted the job and we were so determined and we stuck together and we were determined that we were going to not let anyone take this opportunity away from us because it was definitely good pay for that time. You got to travel all over the world. You met all these wonderful, wonderful people from politicians to movie stars to athletes. And as I said, and you mentioned it too, about how you dressed up. It was glamorous to fly way back then. It was an adventure. The whole family got excited. You came dressed. You didn't wear blue jeans with holes in them and peekaboo blouses, you know.
Right.
You know, this is hanging out, that's hanging out. And so it was really a treat, and especially first class. You know, we served meals. We carved the meat. We served caviar. It was an adventure.
And so how would you say, you know, traveling then versus now, did you find or do you see that it just wasn't obtainable for the average person? Versus now it's more obtainable?
Absolutely, positively. I mean, it was. And, you know, there weren't that many blacks. When we did see blacks in the airport and they saw us, it was like we knew each other immediately because they were so
right.
proud to see us, and we were so proud to see blacks traveling. And you definitely didn't have that many blacks flying in first class. So the economy was, at that point, people did have jobs way back then. And later on, when we did see more blacks flying in first class, they were businessmen. And then things, deregulation came in, and that lowered the price. So that made things a lot more affordable. And so at that point, you know, more blacks were starting to fly because everyone was taking mm-hmm. trains or the bus. So
yeah.
How has it changed that? It's more affordable because now, you know, all airlines are competing. And so there's always specials on this and specials on that. And so it opened up the doors for everyone.
Wonderful. And so how did you and the other, African-American flight attendants and stewardesses, how did you all keep that unction to say, I'm going to stick this out? Because I'm sure there were people that were like, I don't have to deal with this. I mean, this is nice traveling, but I don't have to deal with this kind of racism and discrimination. How did y'all just stick it out?
Well, I think, number one, we had each other. And number two, we all saw how wonderful this job was, and it was an opportunity. And it was the fight that we were not going to allow. Back then in that day, everyone was fighting for equal rights. Civil rights was, you know, we had the marches and we had that. Women were fighting for the opportunity to have other careers that have been dominated by men. So we were just in that position. We were fighting for civil rights in the air. We were going to break that color barrier, and we were going to do this job. And we knew we could, and we knew we were good, and we knew we were cute enough because we were beautiful. So
yes,
we knew we had the qualifications, and we were smart. They had recruited, the girls from colleges and everything else. And so you had that determination that you were going to succeed.
What a great point. So everyone was fighting. So it's like,
yeah.
Okay, do I pick to fight and see the world, or if I'm going to go work in my local bank, I'm still going to fight, or if I go work wherever, there still was a battle. So
it was still
might
a battle.
As well battle it out.
Absolutely,
yeah.
Absolutely. And when it was, you know, the chosen, it was you with the chosen few to be able to be selected for this job. And so that's how we felt. And we knew we were representing our race. So therefore, you never
yeah.
let down your people. You never live. We were breaking through that ceiling, and we opened the doors for other blacks to come in. And that is what we were determined to do. And part of my book, as I tell you all these different stories for the racism, there's a hijacking in. I was attacked on the airplane. Two of my friends were murdered. So it takes you the full gamut. But for me personally, the book means I am fighting for our place in history because people
yes.
don't think about the challenges that we had. We were the trailblazers, and I just feel that we have a part in aviation history that people have not thought about. And so that's what
so
the book
true.
Means to me, is to open up the eyes and to let people know that the flight attendants, that was a struggle to fight to be on that airplane for the pilots. It was the same issue with the pilots. They didn't want to hire black pilots.
My goodness. Listeners, you got to pick up this book. You have to. Stars in the Sky, Stories of the First African-American Flight Attendant, paperback. You can grab that on Amazon.com. Any other places they can purchase the book?
Sure, Kindle and Barnes & Noble. And they can go on my website if they would like an autographed copy. They can go on my website, which is T-H-E, flygirl10.com. So that's theflygirl10.com. And they can order and have an autographed copy sent out to them if they would like.
Oh, yes, we want the autograph copy. So listeners, jump on that. This is history. This is history. And so I just want to salute you, you know, for being so gracious and being able to look back and tell the stories and sticking it out and representing us.
Yes.
I know we have people that listen, all types of nationalities that listen, but I wanted to make sure we spotlighted you and featured you. So what was a day in the life of, you know, you being a stewardess, what was the average day in the life of a stewardess?
Oh, my goodness. Okay, we can go for what it was like in the 70s, and I can bring it up to what it was like in 2000. It was all glamorous,
yeah.
So let me just tell you that. This is something I always wanted to do because I loved being, looked on and on the same level as the models and the movie stars and the experiences and meeting people and doing the days when they traveled on the airplane. You know, nowadays they have their own private plane, so to see a celebrity is this far and in between. But the average day is, it's a party, because you would get on the airplane with friends. You fly, and I'm taking you on my later years, because I was flew international the last years. But let me tell you my schedule to show you how determined I was to enjoy my job, continue with Delta Airlines for all those years. And as I always say, Delta was a very, very good company, and they were very protective of us back in the day. So the stories that you read about, half of the time Delta didn't even know, because we handled our own problems. We stuck together, and we took care of it. But my schedule, I live in Chicago, and I commuted to New York. I got up at 3:30 in the morning, walked out my door at 4:30, took a flight at 6 o'clock, went to Cincinnati, took another flight from Cincinnati to LaGuardia, took a cab from LaGuardia and went to JFK, sat there, did my paperwork, talked, whatever, put my uniform on, and then I flew to Istanbul.
Whoa.
That was my typical day for 10 years. And then you party,
wow.
You go and you meet the crew, and you go have dinner someplace. You can go on different tours. Istanbul was one of my favorite places. Rome was one of my favorite places. Greece, every place in Europe was my favorite place. And it was nothing like meeting people in the flight attendant lounge and say, Belinda, where are you going to be in Frankfurt today? Okay, meet me at The Horse is where one of the favorite restaurants we had. And so you have dinner with your friends, and you get to talk, and then she would fly back, because she was based in Atlanta. She would fly back to Atlanta. I would fly back to Chicago. But we would all have a party at 24 hours to have a good time and to relax, and you were getting paid the whole time you were gone.
Wow.
And you
so
only
when
get,
you
and
flew
you only
to Istanbul, how long was that flight?
Oh, the flight was like 9 hours, could be 10 hours, depends on the winds. So when I got to Istanbul, I had been up almost a day and a half. So that was some and I was in school.
Oh, my goodness.
And I was in school. So I'd come back home the same way and get up the next morning and go to school. And I was an A student and got my degree in interior design.
And this was all in a day, like you don't have an extra day in between to rest up,
well,
any of that?
You had 24 hours for your layover, so that's resting on your layover. And then when you come back home, you have 4 days. So I flew, you fly 3 days when you're senior enough to hold that schedule. You fly 3 days and you're off 4 days. So my days were Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Those were the prime days for me.
Wonderful.
So you actually
this is so interesting.
Yeah, and it is. And so when you really break it down, you are, it's like 9 hours. Let's say, so you work, you serve the passengers, you do your duties, and then everyone goes to sleep. So then you are monitoring the plane and you're taking your break. And then when you get to Istanbul, then you have a 24-hour layover. Or a 20-hour layover, but then you're on your own to go do whatever you want. On a tour, you can relax, you can, you know, it just was a wonderful thing, and you're getting paid. And then you get on the plane and you come back home.
My goodness. I love this. This is so interesting. Listeners, you got to pick up stars in the sky. You've got to pick up a copy and get all this. And I know this has afforded you an opportunity to speak on stages. I know you've been featured in other major media. Do you enjoy having those type of speaking engagements and exposure?
I absolutely love it. I really do. So if anyone would like to contact me and we can talk about a speaking engagement, the book is up for two awards. I've been nominated by the NAACP. Branch in New York for next month. I've been nominated for an award there. The book has been nominated for the Bessie Coleman Award. So it's done well. It's radio, TV, NBC, ABC, CBS. I'm really, really blessed with the coverage I've gotten. I am working with it's a One Talent. It's an organization in Atlanta where they are mentoring children. And so my mission is to speak with these children and let them know there are so many fields in aviation that they need to pursue. And for some reason, that is a field that is not presented to them as an opportunity for a good career. So that's part of my mission is speaking with, you know, the youth and any group that may want me to talk about the days of, as I say, fighting for our civil rights in the sky. And promoting stars in the sky. So I love it. I love it. I've gone from all over, California, New York. So I'm enjoying all my speaking engagements.
Phenomenal. And you know what? There's still somewhat of a stigma for African Americans with flying. And I don't know if it's a fear thing. I don't know if it is just historically we didn't fly, so it's like not ingrained but it's still, even if you fly today, it's just you can see a dramatic difference of just nationalities that fly on planes today, and it seems like African Americans don't fly as much as maybe other populations. So I'm just wondering, do you think there's still a fear of just even flying, the physical fear?
I don't know. I don't know how to answer that. Actually, you're right about that. You still don't see a lot of blacks flying compared to the other races. That's number one. But I believe that most times they still like to take family trips in the car. Because we like to have our cars, and driving is enjoyable, and I think it's a good thing for the family to be able to, you know, have that closeness once again and take the trips. And you learn so much when you take, you know, road trips with the family. So I don't really know what the reason would be that the percentage is not as high, because tickets are affordable now.
Yeah.
I guess maybe, you know, a lot of people are trying to make ends meet, and that's a glamorous thing still to go on a vacation because it isn't cheap. The airfare may be cheaper, but the hotels still aren't, you know, so.
Right. All right. I was wondering your opinion of that. And I got to give a shout out to a new author that's hanging out in the chat room, Carla R. Jenkins. And she said, hearing your schedule is just motivation. And she also said, that's true, Charvette. I'm the only person in my family who flies regularly.
Okay.
So, yeah.
But and you know, I guess it would be hard for me to answer too, because most of my friends are airline people, and you know, we will introduce everything to our family, so our families are like, oh yeah. So who knows what the real reason is, but we are flying, though. We are flying,
right.
And
yes,
we are
taking
vacations. Yes.
Now I bet you had family and friends who were like, Miss Casey, can you hook me up with a flight? Did you have specials, or what do they call those standbys and all that kind of stuff that you could give?
Well, they're buddy passes, and one of the perks of retiring is that we fly for the rest of our life free. And and we are I think we get maybe 8 buddy passes a year. And I think that, you know, mine are definitely just for my family. So they're the ones who get it. And if you're not married, you can designate a person with you to a designated companion. And so at that point, they go cheaper. They have a cheaper rate. They don't go completely free. Now, a spouse goes free, and your children go free. So it definitely is a perk for anyone who's considering a career in aviation, I advise you to please pursue it, because it is a wonderful, wonderful, enriching, because there's nothing more rewarding or educational than travel and learning to meet different people and different customs. It's just the best education you could ever have.
Absolutely, absolutely. And listen, I'm telling you, there are several people who rated your book 5-star. So listeners, if you are over on Amazon, you can see that people love the book. Fascinating flight fare, inspiring, informative, often funny, all three educational, engaging, and enjoyable. That's Lynette
yes.
Smith. Enjoyed reading the book. I am telling you what, enjoyable, a journey, wonderful, wonderful comments there on Amazon. So the goal of my show is to motivate, excite, and influence, and I know just hearing you being able to share your experiences has been motivating, but we'd love to hear what continues to motivate you.
Life.
Yeah.
I'm enjoying my life. God has blessed me with family, with wonderful friends, with good health, and I just enjoy life. I enjoy living, and that's my motivation, getting up in the morning and just breathing.
All right. I think that's motivation enough. One more time, let listeners know how they can connect with you, schedule you for speaking engagements, buy your book, any of that.
Well, right, I will do that. And it's called Stars in the Sky. It's by Casey Grant. And as I said, I was among the first African-American flight attendant for Delta Airlines. So it's the trials and the tribulations of what the African-American flight attendant went through to be a trailblazer in aviation. You can get the book on Amazon, Kindle, and Barnes & Noble. If you would like an autographed copy, please go on my website, and that is theflygirl10.com, and that is T-H-E, flygirl10.com. And you can also see my schedule, my speaking engagements, and so you can please contact me if you would like to have me speak in your church or any of these type of affairs at the schools. I would be more than happy to do that.
Wonderful. And any following on Twitter? Are you on Twitter? They could follow you.
I am on Twitter and I'm on Facebook. And yes, I'm on both.
All right, so just look it up, listeners. You know, you can just Google
because,
find
yeah,
everything you need.
I think Twitter is, I really forgot, but I think it's just Casey Grant. But find me on Facebook, and then we can hook up everything. Grant is on Facebook.
Wonderful. Well, we applaud you, and thank you so much for just representing us well. We got to give you a virtual applause.
Woo-hoo.
And a salute from the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show. And thank you for stopping by.
Oh, listen, it was such an honor. I was really excited, and thank goodness for our mutual girlfriend who did the hookup, and I really appreciate it. And so if I have to say one more plug for the flight attendant, remember that is the most important safety feature on your airplane. Is your flight attendant. So pay attention when they're giving you those demonstrations. And when you see a beautiful black face, remember the trials and tribulations that they had to go through, and give them all the respect that they really deserve.
Wonderful ending comments and ending notes. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. And I hope to talk to you again.
Absolutely. We have to have you back. We absolutely have to have you back.
Okay, thank you.
All right.
Okay, bye.
All right, listeners, that is going to wrap up today's show. Thank you so much. All those that are on the phone lines, we see you just blowing up the phone lines there and hanging out with us, and those in the chat room, those that are listening in from all across the World Wide Web, we appreciate you. Listen, support, check out, connect with all of our guests. You can go to Charvette.com. If you're not there, some of you may be there listening to the show. Charvette.com has a full bio for all of our guests, and so connect. Again, our first segment, we kicked off the top of the show with Dr. Alice Millsap, author, certified Christian counselor. Check out her book, I Am, God's Inheritance, Unlocking the Door to Your True identity. And then here, just wrapping up with our second segment, oh, my goodness, Miss Casey Grant, make sure you connect Stars in the Sky. Pick that up. Amazon, both of our guests have products on Amazon. Connect. As always, we're going to be bringing you more phenomenal shows, so you want to stay connected. Just follow Charvette.com. Follow me on Twitter. Twitter.com/Charvette. Connect with me on Facebook, Facebook.com/Charvette. And that's going to give you everything you need to know about everything that's going on in my world and everything that you need to know about. Also, if you're a female entrepreneur, connect at Coaching with Vette on Facebook. We'll see you guys later.
Live from Richmond, Virginia, you have been listening to the Charvette Mitchell Radio Show. Connect with her at Charvette.com. And until next week, stay motivated, excited, and influenced. The Charvette Mitchell Radio Show, signing off.